good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. Your net controls this session are several. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And I'm merely opening it up this evening. I'm in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where currently it's a temperature of about 68 degrees. Been raining out there, and I'm not sure the high was about, supposed to be about 79. Not a very nice day for South Florida. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right. How about any birthday stations? Last week, this week, tonight maybe, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy. No birthday station, and I always say that means we're not getting any older. Well, good evening once again, everyone. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Now let me advise all stations connected tonight that this net is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So remember, if you participated, you will definitely be part of that recording. Once again, thanks for joining the TIN tonight. Our topic is ham trivia. So hope everyone has had a good week and has been safe. But this time, I'm going to turn it over to KY6B so he can begin the program. So this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. KY6B, are you ready?
Well, I think so. Thank you, Kathy. Gordon here, KY6B. Good evening, one and all. Tonight, we hope to present a laid-back and fun evening of ham trivia. We decided that after a few months of somewhat intense technical discussions, and in keeping with the current state of somewhat being contained in our homes, it was time for something lighthearted and fun and full of camaraderie. I'd like to say here that your presenters, all of the narrators tonight, are long-time seasoned hams. And in some cases, I believe, were with Marconi when Marconi made his first original test. So, without further ado, let's begin with David, GW8SZL over in Wales in the UK. David, good evening, sir. Thanks for staying up so late just for us. KY6V, are you ready, David?
Yeah, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, thank you very much, Gordon. My name is Dave. I'm located in the city of Newport in South Wales in the United Kingdom, approximately 12 miles northeast of the capital city of Cardiff. And this evening, we're going to ask a series of trivia questions. And after each question, I will put it open to the audience to see if they can guess the correct answer. So, without further ado, we will go to question one. And that question is, what do the amateur radio stations November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra and Romeo Sierra 0 India Sierra Sierra have in common? I'll repeat the question. What do the amateur radio stations November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra and Romeo Sierra 0 India Sierra Sierra have in common? Okay, now I'll put it open and I'll take check-ins, and then we can go through the list and take your answers. So anybody who'd like to have a go at question one? This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Please call now.
Well, I'll take a shot at that, David. 6 Victor.
Do we have any other stations out there who'd like to guess the answer to that question, apart from our captain there, Gordon? Please call. Yeah, obviously not, Gordon. And I thought that was one of the easiest questions. But go ahead with your guess. KY6V, Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Yeah, I sort of felt the same way, David. Well, both of the attendees of those call letters go around in orbit all the time. Much like all of us are doing right now, going around in circles because of this COVID-19. But the ISS in both call signs indicates the International Space Station, and those are calls issued for the hams that are aboard that station to communicate back this way. KY6V, over.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Well, all I can say is, Gordon, you're top of the class. And I actually have been honored to actually work in both those call signs on voice in the past. And I actually have QSL cards from both of those call signs. So I think I'm rather honored. But that was a little while back. Okay then, thank you, Gordon. And shall we move rapidly on to question two? Now, this famous ham invented a legendary music device that was featured on the album Switched On Back. Who is it? I'll repeat the question. This famous ham invented a legendary music device that was featured on the album Switched On Back. Now, who is it? Again, I'll call on the audience. If anybody would like to have a go guess in the answer, please go ahead with your call sign now.
This is K2HA. I'll give a crack at it.
Any other stations would like to have a go at answering a question apart from Fred there, K2HA?
KD9NDJ, I think I have an answer.
Okay, I have Kilo Delta 9, November Delta Juliet. Any others? Okay, we have two stations there. You'd like to have a go at that particular question. We have Fred, Kilo 2 Hotel Alpha, and Ken, Kilo Delta 9, November Delta Juliet. Okay, Fred, you were up first. So let's see how we get on there. K2HA, Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra, Zulu, Lima, the mic is yours.
Well, thank you, Dave. Since Johann Sebastian Bach is one of my favorite composers, and I've sung lots of his works. I remember when Switched On Bach came available, and it was an interesting piece. But the inventor is Bob Moog, and there's a Moog manufacturing place not too far from us here, down in Springfield. And I pass there quite frequently, and into all kinds of electronics. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, thank you for that answer, Fred. And we'll move on now to Ken, Kilo Delta 9, November Delta Juliet. Go ahead with your guess, Ken.
I'm in agreement with K2HA. I think the answer to the question is Robert Moog, the inventor of the eponymous synthesizer. However, I had no idea the guy was a ham. Back to you.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Well, you're both correct. The answer was Robert Moog. And his call sign was Kilo 2 Alpha Mike Hotel. And he invented the famous Moog synthesizer, along with some other innovative electronic music equipment. He unfortunately died in 2005. John McVie is the bass player for Fleetwood Mac, and Tom Scholz is the founder of the band Boston, and is also an MIT graduate who has made his own contributions to music technology. So, well done, Fred and Ken. Let me just reset. Okay, and on to question three. Now, at the end of a conversation, ham operators will say 7-3 to the person they are talking with. What does 7-3 or 73 mean? And I'll take a call now for people who would like to have a go at that one. From Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima, please call now.
Romeo Fox Juliet.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Juliet Lima Delta, Juliet Lima Delta.
Kilowatt Foxtrot 3 Delta X-ray.
Oh boy, can't get in here, but it goes HJQ.
M3 XNY. Mark Whiskey 3 XNY was.
Okay, we have the Chief there, Roger. Whiskey 4 Romeo Foxtrot Juliet. And David, KB9 EWG. John, W2JLD. Jared, KF3 Delta X-ray. John, VK3HJQ. I didn't quite catch the full call sign of the last station. I think it was Mike Whiskey 3 X-ray something Yankee. Could you please call again? Okay, could the station after John, VK3HJQ, the last station who called in, I think it was Mike Whiskey 3, it could be Mike 3 X-ray something Yankee, call again, please. Okay, nothing heard. So we'll first up on the list there is the Chief, W4RFJ. What's your guess? Go ahead.
Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. This is Whiskey 4 Romeo Fox Juliet. And I'll try to make this short, but I kind of reminisce about the old days when the digital signals was called Morse code, and using patterns for different messages along with the Q codes was prominent in the communiques. 73, I believe, was meant for best regards. I'm pretty sure I probably got that one wrong, but that's my input anyway. Back over to you, Super Duper Duper Dave.
Okay, Chief, thank you very much for your answer. And we will now go on to KB9 EWG. Go ahead, David.
Well, good morning to you there. Good evening, whatever, David, at whatever time it is over in the UK. The ancient one there, and everybody else. Well, the current terminology would indicate best regards nowadays, but back when I first got licensed, I took a novice class to get my novice license, and the Elmer that taught that class had taught us that 7-3 actually came from the days of the telegraph, before even radio. And that was actually used at the end of a shift. When the telegraph operator was leaving, was signing off, it was an indication that he was ending his shift there. So it was end of shift. Nowadays it does mean, a best regards. And of course it was sent as two separate characters, a 7 and a 3. Not 73, 73rds, whatever. It's 7 and a 3. So I will always only say 7-3 when I use the term 7-3. So it does mean best regards now, but it did originally mean the end of a shift there for a telegraph operator. Back to you there, Ancient One, from KB9EWG.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Thank you, David, and for the additional information there and as well. Okay, we'll go down to my good friend there over in Rochester, New York, and W2JLD. What's your answer, John? Go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Dave, good to hear you out there on the Thursday evening edition of the South Cars Net. I was on the Dew Drop In, and all I heard was crickets, and then I connected to the South Cars, and lo and behold, there's a net. So good to hear you out there. And what's the answer? The answer is April 18, 2020, World Amateur Radio Day, 12-hour net, 9 different net controllers, special event QSL card. We will be live streaming the event on YouTube, so look for World Amateur Radio Day 2020 on the YouTube channel. Keep it there all day long. We will have the live chat box on the right-hand side, so be sure to hang out with us this Saturday, World Amateur Radio Day 2020. I am going to say, Mr. Dave, best regards, and a lot of folks that I hear on amateur radio today, they often put an S at the end of 73s. There is no S at the end of it. It's just simply 73. This is W2JLD. Back to net control.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Zima. Yeah, thank you for your answer there, John. And yeah, we're all going to enjoy World Amateur Radio Day on Saturday, that's for sure. And next on the list is Jared, Kilo Foxtrot 3 Delta X-Ray. Could we have your answer, please?
Yeah, I'm going to go with K3DX here. I'm going to go with best regards. I would say that maybe at some point in time, you know, I've heard also, you know, best wishes. Kind of getting sometimes infused with that, but usually best regards. That's why I've always interpreted these best regards there. And the 7 and the 3. That's correct. Yeah, it's no 7 3s or 73s or it's the 7 and the 3. They send it separate. So okay, yeah, that's my answer. KF3DX back in it.
Okay, KF3DX. Thank you. Jared, for your answer there. Now, this is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Now we're going down to the other side of the planet, down to Australia. And John, VK3HJQ. What do you think the answer is, John? VK3HJQ, Victor Kilo 3 Hotel Juliet, Quebec. Are you still there, John? Last call for VK3HJQ. Are you still with us, John? This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra, Zulu, Lima. Okay, nothing heard. Well, I'm glad to say that everybody's got the answer to that question correct. And yeah, even I'm guilty of adding the odd S on every now and again. It just sort of seems to slip in there. But yep, 7-3 is the correct answer. And the additional information from David there, KB9EWG, I know personally is totally correct from my past experiences. But although hams use many different modes of communication such as voice, digital and even television, the original mode was obviously Morse code. Now in order to save time, many abbreviations were created by Morse users, and 7-3 is used to sign off with a friendly goodbye or best regards. Now of course, if you are talking with that special someone, a different number is used. 8-8, which means love and kisses. And now we will move on to the fourth question, and this is it. When radio amateurs are trying to solicit a new contact, what two-letter phrase do they use? I'll repeat the question. When radio amateurs are trying to solicit a new contact, what two-letter phrase do they use? Once again, now I will call for anybody who would like to try and answer that particular question. If so, please go ahead now with your call signs.
Victor Alpha 3, Alpha Hotel.
November 5, Whiskey Romeo Oscar.
Kilo Fox 3, Delta X-ray.
Kilo Juliet 4, Lima Alpha.
Okay, I've got Victor Alpha 3, Alpha Hotel, November 5, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, Kilo Foxtrot 3, Delta X-Ray, and the last one, Kilo Juliet 4, Lima Golf Alpha. Do we have any further takers for question 4? Okay, nothing heard. First one on the list, Victor Alpha 3, Alpha Hotel. Could you go ahead with your answer, please? This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima.
QSL, net control, CQ, this is, I do believe is the answer, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong on a lot of things. 7-3, thanks for allowing me to check in on the net. Victor Alpha 3 Alpha Hotel.
Okay, Victor Alpha 3 Alpha Hotel. Yep, thank you very much for the answer there. And now we'll go around to November 5 Whiskey Romeo Oscar. Steve, go ahead with your answer, please.
Yeah, this is Steve in Mississippi, and I would guess CQ, Charlie Quebec, as well. This is N5WRO. Back to net control.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Steve. And now we go around to Jared, Kilo Foxtrot 3, Delta X-ray. Can we have your answer, please, Jared? Go ahead.
Kilo Foxtrot 3, Delta X-ray. Well, you know, I've given it a lot of thought here, and I've looked at all the multiple choice answers, and it's come down. Let's see, I can walk away here with 50,000. I'm joking, of course. Got to put a little levity into it sometimes. So, like a model who wants to be a millionaire. But I'm going to say CQ, and I'm going to put a little more info. On CW, you go CQ, CQ, CQ. And then DE, this is. Okay, it's, and then on voice, you know, CQ, and then this is. Well, some people, they go, you know, when they call CQ, like when I was on HF, I did this, you know, myself. CQ in the band, you know, like, hello, CQ 40, CQ 40 meters, you know, for example. So that's my answer there, KF3EX.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jared, for your answer there. And then we'll go around to Kilo Juliet 4, Lima Golf Alpha. Could you go ahead with your answer, please?
Yes, I'm sorry. This is KJ4LGA, and without a doubt, CQ is my answer, and thanks for the opportunity to talking to you, and back to the network.
Yeah, and thank you very much for taking the time to actually call in and as well there. Well, all I can say is that everybody got that question correct. Yeah, a bit of da-di-da-di-da-da-di-da and the rest of it in CW. And so CQ was the correct answer, of course. And CQ sounds like seek you. So seek you. Get it? And of course, WX means the weather, as in whiskey X-ray. And Delta Echo, of course, means from. I always remember it from when I was working in France. And Charlie X-ray. Now that is the common call sign prefix for hams in Uruguay. I just thought we'd throw that one in for good measure. And now I'm going to pass it over to the chief there, down in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, for another set of questions. W4RFG, over to you, chief. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
And Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima with the Thursday Information Net. This is W4RFJ, and most of my questions are going to be kind of around the packet radio topic. And before I start, is there anybody that needs to use the net here for a moment, or if not, I'll continue. All right, just wanted to make sure we weren't passing over any emergency traffic that may come through. My question number one is, what year did amateur radio operators begin experimenting with packet radio? Again, what year did amateur radio operators begin experimenting with packet radio? Please call W4RFJ.
Six, Victor.
Six, Victor recognized. Go ahead, sir. W4RFJ.
Well, thank you, Chief. KY6V here. I'm not sure of the answer to that question, but I got into it pretty early. I started somewhere around 1982, and I'm going to guess that it had already broken water and was starting to pick up interest probably a couple of years, if not a little bit more than that, before 1982. That's as close as I can get to it. KY6V, over.
H.A.
1982, possibly earlier. Are there any other stations that would like to take a stab? Please call W4RFJ.
Kilo 2 Hotel Alpha.
Go ahead, Fred. This is W4RFJ. What's your answer?
It was in the 1970s sometime. And in 1975, you had CSMA, Carrier Sense Multiple Access. So, and there was DARPA was playing with it in 1973. This is Fred, K2HA.
Okay, is there anybody else that would like to try? Okay, well, according to my resources, the year was 1978. Now, that takes us right into question number two. What country was the first to give the amateurs authorization to experiment with packet by radio? I'll repeat the question. What country was the first to give their amateurs authorization to experiment with packet by radio? Again, please call W4RFJ.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Hotel Alpha.
Okay, the net recognizes Echo Whiskey Golf and Hotel Alpha. Is there any others? Okay, Dave, EWG, go ahead and what's your answer? KB9EWG, this is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net.
Well, good evening to you, Chief. And yeah, packet's something I used to play with quite a bit there. And my answer would be Canada, the Canuck country up there. W4RFJ from KB9EWG.
Well, that sounds pretty good. How about you, Fred, K2HA? What's your answer? Over.
Well, this is K2HA. My answer is also Canada. I agree with David. And I think the first ones that were playing with it was the Montreal Amateur Radio Club.
And you guys are head on. As a matter of fact, and I'm reading this from the Packet Radio Wikipedia, amateur radio operators began experimenting with packet radio in 1978 when, after obtaining authorization from the Canadian government, Robert Rouleau, VE2 Papa Yankee, Bram Frank, VE2 Bravo Foxtrot Hotel, Norm Pearl, VE2 BQS, and Jacques or Sally, VE2 BHP, of the Montreal Amateur Radio Club, Montreal, Quebec, began experimenting with transmitting ASCII-encoded data over VHF amateur radio frequencies using home-built equipment. In 1980, Doug Lockhart, VE7 APU, and the Vancouver Area Digital Communications Group, VADCG, in Vancouver, British Columbia, began producing standardized equipment, also known as terminal node controllers, in quantity for use in amateur radio, amateur packet radio networks. In 2003, Rouleau was inducted into the CQ Amateur Radio Magazine's Hall of Fame for his work on the Montreal Protocol in 1978. So you guys were right on, and good answers. Captain, you are a little bit later. It actually started in 1978, the actual packet over radio happened. Let me grab a nickel. Does anybody have any questions concerning those two trivia questions? Please call W4RFJ. Okay, very good. The next two questions I'll follow up with the answers, so I'm going to go ahead and see if I can get some feedback from you guys. What year did the United States Federal Communications... FCC grant authorization for U.S. amateurs to transmit ASCII codes via amateur radio? I say again, what year did the U.S. FCC, Federal Communication Commission, grant authorization for U.S. amateurs to transmit ASCII codes via amateur radio? Please call W4RFJ.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Okay, the net recognizes Echo Whiskey Golf. Go ahead, Dave.
Chief, my answer is 1980. KB9EWG.
Okay, do we have any others that want to take a stab? I'm not saying Dave is right or wrong. I just want to give everybody a chance. Okay, before I answer that question, let's go to the next one. When, where, and by whom was the first packet radio digipeater put into operation within the United States? I say again, when, where, and by whom was the first packet radio digipeater put into operation within the United States? Let's try this again. Anybody got an answer? Please call W4RFJ. Oh, I thought everybody would be able to get that one. Okay, being as there's no answers, let me go through the paragraph I have written from my research. This, again, was also taken from the Packet Radio Wikipedia. Not long after the activity began in Canada, amateurs in the U.S. became interested in packet radio. In 1980, the United States Federal Communication Commission, also known as the FCC, granted authorization for United States amateurs to transmit ASCII codes via amateur radio. Repeaters may be designed for amateur radio, for amateur packet radio. These are dubbed digipeaters. The first known amateur radio packet radio activity in the U.S. occurred in the San Francisco area during December of 1980 when a packet repeater was put into operation on 2 meters by Hank Magnuski, Kilo Alpha 6 Mike, and the Pacific Packet Radio Society, also known as PPRS. In keeping with the dominance of DARPA and ARPANET at the time, the nascent amateur packet radio network was dubbed the AmperNet, and that is keeping within DARPA's style, as Fred had mentioned earlier. Magnuski obtained IP address allocations in the 44.0.0.0/8 network for amateur radio use worldwide. So the answer to question three, what year did the USFCC grant authorization? That was 1980. And when, where, and whom was the first packet radio digipeater put into operation within the United States was December 1980, San Francisco, California, Hank Magnuski, KA6M, and the Pacific Packet Radio Society was involved. All right, that beside me. Anybody have any feedback on what I just spouted out at you? Please call W4RFJ. Gordon, I think everybody passed out.
No, I don't think so, but, you know, I was chuckling here. I'm glad I'm recording this so I can go back and see what you said. Over.
Well, if you can only hear what I see, then we'll be set.
Brute. Over.
Outstanding. I have one last question, and I'll back it up with some thoughts and comments. What year did packet radio bulletin boards begin to appear? This is going to be followed up with some more trivial information from the Packet Radio Wikipedia, but what year did packet bulletin boards begin to appear? This is W4RFJ. Anybody got some feedback for that one?
Echo Whiskey Gulf.
Okay, Dave, take her away.
Alex, would the year be 1984? KB90WG.
Excellent answer. Many groups of amateur radio operators interested in packet radio soon formed throughout the country, including the Pacific Packet Radio Society, PPRS, in California, the Tucson Amateur Radio, Amateur Packet Radio Corporation, TAPR, in Arizona, and the Amateur Radio Research and Development Corporation, AMRAD, in Washington, D.C. By 1983, Tapper was offering the first TNC available in kit form. Packet radio started becoming more and more popular across North America, and by 1984, the first packet board bulletin board systems began to appear. Packet radio proved its value for emergency operations following the crash of an Aeromexico airliner in a neighborhood in Cerritos, California, which was on Labor Day weekend in 1986. Volunteers linked several key sites to pass text traffic via packet radio, which kept voice frequencies in the clear. Let me reset. For an objective description of early developments in amateur packet radio, you can refer to the article Packet Radio in the Amateur Service, which was written by P. Karn and H. Price and R. Deersing in May of 1985, and I've got information for an ISBN if you're searching for that. Captain, did you have any thing you wanted to input from this point? If not, I'm going to go on into my notes, and I can't even remember who I'm supposed to pass it over to.
No, I really don't think so, Chief. KY6V here. I was sitting back reflecting. You know, there was always a Donnybrook going on between the single users and the bulletin board, since you brought up bulletin boards. And it could get into a real mess. Somebody wanted to talk to somebody on packet, and even though we had several frequencies for each of the bands that we used, but let's stay with 2 meters for a moment, the bulletin boards would be on all three frequencies, and so they're trying to pass traffic, and these guys are trying to talk with somebody, and it got a little out of hand a lot of times. We, down here in Southern California, decided to take this mess and ask the bulletin boards to forward their traffic on 440. So we would set up three bands. We would use 2 meters for keyboard to keyboard. We'd use 220 for exchange to another region, and we'd use 440 for bulletin boards. But I'll tell you what, I can still remember some of the bruises. Chief, KY6V, over.
No, absolutely, and I don't know if you realize this, but once the bulletin boards got their karma in line, most of the TNC manufacturers included your own little bulletin board on within your TNC, which is called a message drop. So with the automatic forwarding of messages that the packet bulletin boards was doing, 440, they were able to not only get the bulletin board traffic, or you know, the generic message traffic off of a keyboard to keyboard channel, but they were also able to improve the bandwidth up to 9,600 baud. So, and further, I mean, I've seen links that were 56K baud, which is pretty awesome. Anyway, from my experience, I can say that over the past 40 years, packet has been a wondrous experience. I've had the opportunity of learning from the masters, so to speak. Henry Oridson, W0RLI, who's now a silent key, he passed January of 2013. He was actually instrumental in helping me get my first Xerox 820 packet bulletin board system on the air. That was the old CPM 2.2 big board thing that used to be advertised in the radio and electronics magazines. CPM was a big deal. I remember I had the opportunity of chatting with him many times as packet was growing and the internet was taking over. And literally that's what happened. You know, packet uses part of the OSI model that we use with interneting. And that's where I started to learn internet protocols and internet or networking type of stuff. Anyway, this basically guided me through the world of TCP/IP and the OSI model, and I remember being able to node walk from South Florida to Canada and from the East Coast to the West Coast of our great nation utilizing net nodes and digipeaters. APRS was a big game changer, and that, I think, is what kept packet alive once the Internet took over. It was developed and is included with the development of most digital voice systems such as D-Star, DMR, and Fusion. There's just too many hams and organizations and abilities to list. But looking into this month's TIN has given me pause to evaluate what Packer Radio has given to us and our hobby and to me personally. The simple questions that I've asked.
Well, he's timed out, gang, but just hold your footing. He'll be back here as soon as he takes a pause. Either that or his key is stuck. This is KY6V. We'll give him another minute. Oh, I think he just freed up. Purple crystal time, Chief. Over.
All right, where did I drop off?
I'm not sure. But you were getting towards the end of it. Over.
Okay, I'll read the last paragraph. Looking into this month's TIN has given me pause to evaluate what Packer Radio has given to us in our hobby. Did you get that?
Yes, so far.
Okay, the simple questions, when did it start, who was involved, and what have I learned, are just scratching the surface of what amateur packet radio is all about and what it's given us. In my opinion, the two biggies are learning and sharing, and I also included at the bottom of my document a document that anybody can download off of the taper.org website, which has to do with the AX25 Link Access Protocol for Amateur Radio. Guaranteed to put you to sleep, Captain. Who gets it next? W4RFJ with the South Cars, Thursday Information Net.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you there, Chief, KY6V. It goes over to Mr. Fred, K2HA. You would like to pick it up at this point, Fred? Over.
Yeah. Do I need to ask anybody if they really have to check in now?
You handle it how you want to handle it, Fred. Over.
Okay, thank you, Gordon. I just want to make sure that everybody gets a chance at least to list their call letters. Anybody want to make a comment at this point in time?
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Okay, very good. We have one taker. And that's George down there near Orange City. In Florida, KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo, how are you tonight? And what would you want to say?
Well, we're doing well, Fred. Thank you for asking, sir. Well, back at the beginning, I have been having a sound problem here trying to get hooked up and all. Tried keying, but nothing would happen there, so we had to reconfig. Back when the question come about 7-3, if you want to put a little bit of a conchology sight on the question there, us fishermen down there in the Keys there, 7-3, we would kind of say tight line and good fishing. Hasta la bye-bye. That's all we got to say, Fred. Appreciate you taking the call. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Okay, George, thank you very much for that comment. I appreciate it. And I love hearing your perspective from down there in the Florida Keys. Growing up down there, that's fantastic. Continuing on with our trivia, folks. Which of the following musician is not, or was not, an amateur radio operator, a ham? And the four choices are Jim Croce, Joe Walsh, Ronnie Millsap, and Alice Cooper. Jim Croce, Joe Walsh, Ronnie Millsap, and Alice Cooper. Which one was not a ham? Anybody want to give an answer?
Is that me?
Okay. This is Fred, K2HA. And is that Big Train?
Yeah, I guess Alice Cooper. I don't think Alice Cooper was a ham. Might have been, I don't know. I know Joe Walsh and Ronnie Millsap were ham. I forget the other one you said. I don't think Alex Cooper was the ham. I don't think. I don't know. I'd be interested to find out. N9ZIV.
Okay, N9ZIV. Thank you for that answer. Anybody else?
Whiskey Romeo Oscar.
Okay, Steve, go ahead. Whiskey Romeo Oscar.
Yes, I'm going to guess that Jim Croce was not a ham radio operator.
All right, so we have two answers here. One is Alice Cooper, and one is Jim Croce. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I don't ring the bell here, or whatever it is. The non-ham was Alice Cooper. Ronnie Millsap held the license of WB4, Kilo Charlie Golf. Joe Walsh hold the license Whiskey Bravo 6 Alpha Charlie United, and Jim Croce was Whiskey November 3 Oscar Queen Whiskey. So the answer was Alice Cooper. All right, moving on. Besides talking on his ham radio, there was a famous newscaster, and he spent most of his life talking into a microphone for a living. And who is that? So he was a ham, but he was a famous newscaster for a long time. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
Mr. Alpha 3, Alpha Hotel.
Anybody else? Okay, we have one taker there. Victor Alpha 3, Alpha Hotel. Oh, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Net Control. The person you're referring to is Walter Cronkite. I met him in Vietnam in the early 60s. Quite a character. Nothing more, VA3AA.
Okay, very good. You are correct. It is Walter Cronkite. Sorry about that. Cronkite. And his call letters were Kilo Bravo 2, Golf Sierra Delta. And he obtained his ham license after he was retired from CBS News, primarily to have another form of communication while he was on his sailboat. Now, Chet Huntley and David Brinkley were popular co-anchors of the NBC television news broadcast. Dan Rather replaced Cronkite on the CBS Evening News after Cronkite retired. So Cronkite found ham radio useful, and I wonder how much time he spent on the air. I don't know that. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA, and let me reset here. Next question. In the United States, what speed of Morse code must a prospective ham be able to accurately read in order to get their amateur radio license? Anybody want to give an answer for that? This is Fred, K2AK.
Victor Alpha 3, Alpha Hotel.
Romeo Fox Juliet.
Okay, well, let me make it a little bit harder before you give your answer. The if you were in the United Kingdom, what speed must a UK ham be proficient in Morse code to obtain a foundation class license? And the options are 5 words per minute, 10 words per minute, 15 words per minute, or 0 words per minute. Okay. Since I made it a little bit harder, Anybody else want to tackle those two?
W4DUC.
Okay, very good. Well, let's go to our first one, the A3 Alpha Hotel. Your turn.
Thank you, Net Control. I do believe it was 5 words a minute, and in Canada it was 10. So I imagine Great Britain, since we're a colony of Great Britain, was 10 words a minute. I think that's correct. It's been a long time since I've worked 5 words a minute on CW.
Okay, you picked the 5 and 10. All right, let's go over to W4, Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Hello, Fred. Good evening to everybody. This is W4RFJ. I have no idea what the UK's laws or concerns were. I do remember way back when I was licensed, your novice class was 5 words a minute. Your general class was 13 words a minute, and in order to make extra, you had to do 20 words a minute. So that's about all I know, and care to share. Back over to you, Fred, W4RFJ.
Okay, thank you, Roger. Thank you for your answer. So let's go to W4, Delta Victor Charlie.
This is Whiskey 4 Delta Uniform Charlie. I'm here in the USA. It's zero. W4DUC.
Okay, my writing should be better. That's a uniform, Charlie. Okay. Virgil? Yeah, United States, it is zero. They eliminated the code requirement for ham radio, which has brought in a number of people into the ham, into the club, and some people are dedicated, and others are just have their license and don't use it. It's strange. But we have a lot of people licensed now in the United States. And over in the United Kingdom, I was surprised, but they also are at zero right now. Used to be 5 words a minute for foundation class, but they eliminated that. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA. Thank you for those answers. We have one last question here. In amateur radio parlance, what does the two-letter phrase DX stand for? I know this is really hard, but anybody want to throw out there an answer? This is Fred, K2HA.
Victor Alpha 3 Alpha Hotel.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Good evening, Victor.
Okay. We have 3 takers on that. So let's go to the first one. VA3 Alpha Hotel.
And the answer, as far as I know, is long distance. DX stands for long distance.
Okay, thank you for that answer. Let's move over to the packet radio man. W4RFJ, Chief, go ahead.
I didn't sign up to answer that question, over.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I might have missed somebody, but let me pick up David. KB9, EWG, go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to agree with long distance, and actually, back in the days before, you know, when you had to go through the operator to make long distance calls, they actually had a DX plug on their switchboards to go into a long-distance link there or connection there. KB9EWG.
Okay, very good. And let's go over there to Big Train and Wayne. Your turn.
Yeah, I agree. I agree what you're doing. And this is in distant station, long distance, whatever, station. Yeah, I think. We'll find out.
Okay, everybody gets a gold star here. And the answer is distance or long distance. And that's somebody outside your own country, and regardless of distance. So we are a lot of fun to chase DX. The only time it's not fun is when I'm competing with a kilowatt station, and I get wiped out. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA. And I want to pass it over to N4UPC. You're next.
Okay. Thank you, Fred. This is N4UPC. Continuing on with the questions. What is Yuri Gagarin amateur radio call sign Uniform Alpha 1 Lima Oscar famous for? Again, what is Yuri Gagarin, amateur call sign UA1LO, famous for? Go ahead.
E2, Juliet, Lima, Delta.
To Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, VK2DY.
All right, I got JLD and a call sign that ended in DY. Are there others, please? All right, hearing no others, we'll go back up to JLD. Go ahead, sir.
Sir, roger that. Thank you very much for taking my check. And I believe that was the first Russian astronaut. The first Russian astronaut. W2JLD.
Okay. Thank you for your answer. We'll go to the station that ended in DY, Delta Yankee. Go ahead with your answer, please.
This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, in Jelly Ridge, New South Wales, Metropolitan Sydney. The first human being in space, VK2DY.
All right, thank you, Robert. Before I give the answer out, is there anyone that else that wants to take a chance at this? If so, please call N4UPC. All right, hearing nothing, you both get a gold star. As Fred says, the answer is that he was the first cosmonaut and the first human in space. Many Soviet Russian cosmonauts and American astronauts have been amateur radio operators. Yuri Gagarin, again UA1LO, a Russian cosmonaut and winner of the Hero of the State, Hero of the Soviet Union Award, was the first human in space. His flight taking place April 21st, 1961. Let me reset, please. All right, next question. Gerson Strasberg, W2JXX, invented this item, which no self-respecting geek would have been without. Now, you could probably find one only on eBay. What is it? And that's kind of a long one, so let me say that again. Gerson Strasberg, WA2JXX, invented this item, which no self-respecting geek would have been without. Now, you could probably only find one on eBay. What is it? If you think you know the answer, please call N4UPC.
UPC, N4UPC, Juliet Lima Delta.
Hotel Alpha.
All right, we've got John and Fred. Are there any others that want to take a crack at this one? Over. All right. Hearing nothing, let's go back up to the top. Mr. John, JLD, go ahead with your answer, please.
W2JLD, thank you very much for taking my check-in on a Thursday night.
And I believe it is a pocket protector. A pocket protector. My goodness, my goodness. Where would we geeks be without our pocket protector? W2JLD.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate that. Let's jump over to Super Fred, K2HA. Fred, go ahead with your answer, please.
Okay. I was a high school student at Brooklyn Tech, an engineering high school in New York, and we all had lots of pens and pencils and stuff like that, drafting pencils in our pockets, so we all had to have plastic pocket protectors. It's Fred, K2HA.
All right, Fred, thank you very much for that answer. Before I read the answer, the correct answer, is there anybody else that wants to take a crack at it? If so, please call N4UPC. All right. Hearing nothing, John and Fred, you both get those gold stars, because the answer was the plastic pocket protector. It's been some years since I've seen one of those plastic pocket protectors, but it was designed to slip into your shirt pocket and hold your ink pens. Geek fashion dictated that you not only had to have a plastic pocket protector, but you also had to have multiple pens tucked into it. All right. Let me reset here real quick, and we'll go on to the next. All right. Here we go. Using a handheld walkie-talkie, some hams can talk with one another that is 100 miles away by utilizing what device? Let me repeat that one. Using a handheld walkie-talkie, some hams can talk with other amateurs that are 100 miles away by utilizing this device. Okay, so what is the device? If you think you got this one, just give me a call, N4UPC.
Victor Alpha 3 Alpha Hotel.
November Delta Juliet.
Cat Control, this is K5NO, Kilowatt 5 Newey, Ontario.
All right. Recognize suffix AH, Alpha Hotel. Next one would be Delta Juliet and Mark, November Oscar. Is there anyone else that would like to take a try at this answer? If so, please call N4UPC. All right. Hearing no one, let's bump back up to the top. A.H., go ahead with your full call sign and your answer, please.
Okay, that control Victor Alpha 3 Alpha Hotel. And that was a 2-meter repeater. And the one we have is a triple I in Windsor, Ontario.
All right, sir, thank you very much for that answer. Let's move on to the next station, Delta Juliet. Please give full call sign and your answer, please.
This is KD9NDJ, and I can't hit the repeater with my HT on 2 meters, but I can hit worldwide with my hotspot. So my answer is the hotspot.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Kim, we appreciate that. Next up is Mark. N-O, if you would, full call sign and your answer, please, sir.
Okay, this is K5NO, Kilowatt 5, Noe, Ontario. The name is Mark, Mexico Alpha Radio Canada, Mark with a C. And the QTH is two words, Winter Springs, Florida. Winter Springs, Florida, just northeast of Orlando. Now answer the hotspot. 2-meter hotspot. And that's it. Back to you, 73s, K5NO.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Before I go on to the answer, does anybody else want to take a crack at this? If so, please call N4UPC.
Well, K-Stuff, I just want to
Say good evening, Mark. I didn't hear the answer. What I just dialed it up. KSFQV.
Okay, Mark. I'll say it again real quick. Question is, using a handheld walkie-talkie, some hams can talk with other hams that are 100 miles away utilizing what device? What's the device that lets them communicate with a handheld walkie-talkie over hundreds of miles? You want to take a crack at it, Mark? And, of course, anyone else that would like to, obviously welcome. Go ahead, Mark. KC8FQV from N4 UPC.
Okay, it'll be two of one, either a moon bounce or more than likely it'd be a satellite contact as the satellite passes over. KSFQV.
All right. Is there anyone else that would like to take a crack at that answer one last time? If so, please call N4 UPC.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
All right. Go ahead, David, with your answer.
Well, I believe the answer that you're looking for is repeater. But you would actually hold an actual walkie-talkie in your hand to be correct in terminology. It would be a handy talkie is handheld. An actual walkie-talkie would be the 40-pound backpack that you wear. So you wouldn't be able to hold a walkie-talkie in your hand. The walkie-talkie actually is worn on the back. It is the handy-talkie that you hold in the hand there. KB9EWG.
All right. Thank you, David. Let me jump up here to the top give you the answer here. It looks like two out of split 2-3, and the answer is the repeater. Repeaters are usually located at the top of a tall structure such as a building, tower, or mountaintop. The repeater simply receives a signal from one radio and then retransmits it to another. Because of the height, the repeater can greatly extend the range of a handheld mobile radio. And we'll call that handy-talkie, just to make sure we say it right. Let me reset here real quick and give you my segment's final question. All right. This is N4 UPC with the South Coast Amateur Radio Services, TIN. Of course, we have the TIN every third Thursday of the month, and the TIN stands for Thursday Information Network, where we share, sometimes it's trivia, sometimes it has to do with some technical aspect of amateur radio, our beloved hobby. All right, let me give you all this last question, and I'm going to apologize in advance to anyone of Japanese descent because I'm probably going to shred, spindle, and mutilate these names. Here we go. When radio amateurs discuss a Yagi, what are they talking about? Again, when radio amateurs discuss a Yagi, what are they talking about? Please come with your answers now.
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
All right. We've got George, KW4, LCB. Is there anyone else that would like to take a crack at this?
Whiskey, Romeo, Oscar.
Hotel Alpha.
All right. Last call. Anyone else? Give me your suffix. If I don't hear anything, we'll go on to get the answers from these fine gentlemen. Go ahead. All right. Hearing nothing, let's run back up to the top. George, LCB, go ahead with your answer, please, sir.
Well, thank you, Scott, for doing your portion of the net there. One of my favorite pastimes is putting together and mounting Yagis on our towers there. So it would be an antenna there. Back to you.
All right, George, thank you very much for your answer. We appreciate it. Let's move on down to the suffix Whiskey Romeo Oscar, WRO. Please go ahead with your answer, please.
Yes, this is N5WRO. SCARS number Echo 2616. And I believe that a Yagi refers to a directional beam antenna.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much. We've got you. Finally, let's talk to the happy amateur, Mr. Fred. Go ahead with your answer, please, Fred.
Well, I agree with both of the answers above. You know, I was doing some reading once and ran across this guy by Uda. Shimano Uda. And the Uda beam. And I said, what in the world is the Uda beam? And I started looking it up and found out that that's a Yagi, the beam antenna. And I don't know why it's not called the Uda beam, but everybody calls it the Yagi or beam antenna. Strange. This is Fred, K2HA.
All right. Well, all three of you are correct. And here's where I'm going to shred a few names. Yagi is the shortened name for a Yagi Uda antenna. In 1926, Shintaro Uda of Tokuhu University in Sendai, Japan, with the collaboration of Hidegatsu Yagai, developed the antenna. Mr. Yagai published the first English language article about it in 1928. So his name got associated with it, though he was always quick to credit Mr. Uda. All right. That's my portion for tonight. Thank you all very much for your participation. At this time, I'm going to pass it over to a good friend of mine, KB9EWG, David from M4UPC.
Oh, M4UPC, well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure hearing you there and answering your questions. Now it's time for my segment. Good evening, everybody. KBEWG, David in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Echo 2289. And my first question this evening is, per the United States Federal Communications Commission, the amateur radio service has a fundamental purpose, which is expressed in five principles. Which of the following is not one of these principles? Recognition of the value of amateur radio amateur service to the public as a voluntary non-commercial communication service, particularly with respect to providing emergency communications. That's one. Next one is continuation and extension of the amateur proven ability to contribute to the advancement of the radio art. A continuation and extension of the amateur's unique ability to enhance the international goodwill, and recognition of value of the radio amateur as a hobby and social activity. So which of those is not a one of the fundamentals there? Nobody wants to take a stab at that one?
Lima, Charlie Bravo, if you'd be so kind if you'd repeat that last answer.
Okay, what, the whole thing right, or just the last answer in there?
The last answer.
Okay, that would be recognition of the value of amateur radio as a hobby and social activity.
I'm going to go with the advancement of social activity there, David there. I don't recall seeing that there. I have seen the other answers in writing, but social activity kind of gives me a iffy situation there.
And so noted. Anybody else want to try a crack at that one before I give the answer?
VK2DY.
VK2DY, go ahead.
Yeah, VK2DY. I think we're going to get a cross-Pacific to trans-Pacific difference here, but 4 would definitely be on the ACMA's list of reasons for ham radio. But I think up there where you guys are at, it's not. VK2DY, so do you think?
Okay, thank you, Robert. Anybody else want to give it a try? Okay, in this case, you're both correct. The correct answer is recognition of the value of amateur radio as a hobby or social activity is not one of the principles there. The FCC recognizes the value of amateur radio in providing emergency communications in advancement and, you know, in advancement of the radio art in advancing skills in both the communication and technical phases of the art. An expansion of the existing reservoir within the amateur radio service of trained operators, technicians, and electronics experts. Goodwill amateur radio is not officially recognized as either a hobby or a social activity, but as people with common interest will hams gather together to socialize and exchange the technical knowledge in clubs and social societies the world over. Okay, the next question would be Whiskey to Mike Foxtrot Whiskey. Jerry Schatz, billed as Jerry Tucker, played the spoiled rich kid on this popular TV series, or popular series, not necessarily TV series, but a popular series. What was the name of this series?
Six Victor.
Six Victor, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, David. Well, Jerry Schultz or Jerry Tucker, whatever you want to call him, was a dude that was involved in the TV series Our Gang, G-A-N-G, for the good, the bad, or the indifferent, over.
Okay, anybody else want to try a shot at that one also? I'm not saying Gordon's right, I'm not saying Gordon's wrong. Anybody else want to give it a try? Well, I guess not. And Gordon, you are correct, also known as Little Rascals there, so... Jerry appeared in 18 Hour Gang episodes and 6 movies. In 1942, he quit acting and joined the U.S. Navy and was wounded when Kamikaze attacked his ship in the USS... USS Sigby. After World War II, he studied engineering and retired as an engineer for RCA Global Communications. Oops, I'm sorry. Yep. Oh, I'm on the right page here. Okay. All right. On to the next question here. Let me reset. Okay. Next question. If the election had gone in a different direction, this long-term radio amateur operator would have probably been a ham. There probably would have been a ham antenna on the roof of the White House. Who was he? This is K9EWG.
H.A. H.A.,
go ahead.
Yeah, I remember that election. The answer that I have is Barry Goldwater.
Okay, anybody else want to try that one also, or should I move on here? Well, you are correct there, Fred. Of course, Barry Goldwater was big into Mars and doing phone patches for the military. Senator Barry Goldwater lost his 1964 presidential election to Lyndon Johnson. Senator Goldwater, who was known on the air as K7UGA, was a ham for many years during the Vietnam War, provided a radio telephone link to thousands of GIs and their families. Okay, I'll move on to the next question, number 16. What do radio amateurs mean by the term silent key? This is K9EWG.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
UPC.
Okay, I've got Lima, Charlie Bravo, and UPC. George, UP, Lima, Charlie Bravo, go ahead.
Well, Fred, great day, Dave. Excuse me. I think it means we've kind of moved on to the happy hunting ground there and went finally 10-7, put our station to sleep there, to passed on. Back to you.
Okay, George, thank you. And UPC, go ahead. And for UPC, you had a comment here?
Yeah, Dave, my apologies. I thought I keyed up and didn't. The answer that I have, at least, sadly, is an amateur radio operator that has passed away. M4UPC, back to you, David.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to give us an answer here before I move on? Or otherwise, I'll continue out the answer, KB9EWG. Okay, hearing nobody else, a telegraph or simply a key is a device used to send Morse code. A key goes silent when its owner has passed. I think I need another cup of coffee here. And that brings me down to my end here, so I shall pass it to the captain. KY6B, are you ready for your closing comments there, KB9EWG?
I think so. Thank you very much, David. I want to thank the whole gang that contributed as narrators here tonight. Great show. We're an hour and 42 minutes into the program, so it went along very, very well. David, before I go into closing here or see if there's any other check-ins, can you drop your, when you turn it off, of course, drop your recording in the Dropbox for me. I've got a couple of interruptions here. I think I could probably splice things together if I needed it. However, it'd be easier if I had a full tape. Over.
Yeah, I'll mind Capitan. Be happy to do so. KB9EWG.
Okay. Thank you, kind sir. Ladies and gentlemen, any further check-ins? Anybody say have any comments or want to say bye-bye before we close? KY6V for South Cars and the Thursday night TIN net. Oh. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all those ships out at sea. This has been South Cars VOIP net schedules, and general information may be found on our SCARS website, scarsvoip.com, and SCARS VOIP obviously is one word. Your net controls tonight were many. We thank you for coming by. I hope that you enjoyed the evening. We tried to make it a little bit on the lighter side, because of everything that is going on, not get too technically involved. And I think we came close to accomplishing that this evening. The podcast will be posted sometime, hopefully in the morning tomorrow, on our website. For those that didn't get a chance to listen to the entirety, if they care to, or anybody that missed the net tonight, it will be available for them, obviously. With that, good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. The SCARS server is being returned back to normal use and abuse, and we'll see you on downstream.